Welcome to another episode of the Deborah Health Report, where we dive into current health and medical topics to keep the Delaware Valley informed and updated. The conversation continues with interventional cardiologist Muhammad Raza, MD, about the current state of heart valve repair and replacement and the exciting developments on the way. Here's Raza K.
Hi, I'm Raza K. Mild disease in any of the four valves of the heart usually doesn't cause symptoms in the patient or alarm in the doctor. The moderate stage means more monitoring, and near the severe zone, thinking about repair or replacement. Catheter-delivered treatment is the go-to for patients who are lucky enough to be candidates as opposed to open-heart surgery. Until now, though, placing a mitral clip has been the only transcatheter procedure to address mitral valve regurgitation. Well, researchers tested ways to make total mitral valve replacement possible without cracking the chest. Well, the future is now. Deborah interventional cardiologist Dr. Muhammad Raza tells us all about transcatheter mitral valve replacement, or TMVR, now available at Deborah Heart and Lung Center.
Transcatheter mitral valve replacement, we've been literally waiting for quite some time because patients who have mitral valve regurgitation, in general, we offer them transcatheter actuated repair, essentially placing a clip and approximating the leaflets, bringing them together. But there are many patients who are not candidates for transcatheter edge-to-edge repair or the clip procedure. And historically, we really had nothing to offer them because those are also the patients who are not surgical candidates or high risk for surgery. Fortunately, now we have a newer platform to replace the mitral valve with this valve called M3. We are able to replace the mitral valve percutaneously, just like we did for the aortic valve or the tricuspid valve. It has been in the investigational phase or research phase for quite some time. And at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, we performed the first commercial TMVR procedure with M3 about a week ago or so. And that has been the first in the region. This has been exciting news for our patients, first and foremost, and obviously for our program and institution.
Over the last few years, that was the one, to be able to do that procedure on a catheter. When I'd come here and talk to you good guys, you would say, yeah, well, that's what we're yes. looking for. You know, what's got you jazzed? Well, yeah. we're going to get there. So we're there. We're there. How's the patient doing? What was the experience like for everybody?
Yeah. Fortunately, that was our first procedure and went extremely smooth. Patient did extremely well clinically, was discharged home in about 48 hours. He came back for a follow-up a week later, and his symptoms are completely gone. His wife was along with the patient and indicated that she sees that her husband is able to do more activities without getting short-winded, and they both were very excited. So was our team as we saw the progress on our patient and the fact he has a significant improvement in his symptoms.
So the oxygenation is improved instantly, so of course you're going to feel better instantly.
Yeah, absolutely. So the beauty of this particular procedure is when we repair the valve through a catheter, we sometimes are able to eliminate the mitral valve regurgitation or leaky mitral valve. The leak is almost eliminated. Sometimes there is some residual leak, but with this procedure or valve replacement, the leak is completely eliminated. So essentially, that valve is completely fixed. And it's fascinating to see that through a catheter that was a pre-invasive procedure a few years ago.
So when you replace it, are you removing the old one or are you just popping in a new one to do the work?
Yeah, so there are two major challenges in replacing the mitral valve. One was how to anchor the new valve from the groin because we are not stitching or sewing the valve in. So take an example on the aortic valve side, the calcification of the aortic valve acts as cement for the new valve that we deliver from the groin. In the mitral valve position, the calcium is not there. So how are we going to anchor the valve? So this platform has a very clever technique where we deploy something called a dock. And the dock is basically, you can think of a ring with the three wires. And that dock is there to anchor the new valve. It's a three rings together. It we deploy under the valve. The valve then goes inside it. The dock actually provides that anchor. It's actually a very clever design. So if the first step is to deploy the dock, and then we deliver the new valve and deploy inside the dock, so the anchoring component of this challenge that we had for a long time, it is resolved with this technique. There's another challenge about it, which is more technical, is the LVOT obstruction. And that is one thing we look at, that who are candidates for this procedure or not. A lot of research is happening on those lines, how to mitigate that challenge. But I think this is definitely a huge step forward in that space.
I'm thinking back to where you said you use the calcification. So it's like, all right, we don't love that you've got calcification on your valves. On the other hand, we will make it work for us.
Yeah. So that is it's very interesting, and how patients actually perceive that. It's exactly what you just said. So you come in, you tell the patient, take the example of aortic valve stenosis. Some patients do not have enough calcium. We actually have a valve for them also now, fortunately. It's called Jenna valve. But in the past, we would say to the patient that, unfortunately, you do not have enough calcium on your valve. And the first reflex from the patient is, can I go home and eat more calcium and come back and you can recheck it?
It doesn't
quite work like that. The calcification of the valve happens because of underlying wear and tear or inflammation. It is not about how much calcium people are taking in their diet. So, yes, in the mitral valve position, in general, the valve is not enough calcified to act as an anchor for us. So that's why we have to deploy the docking mechanism to anchor it there.
So the calcium here, of course, is a byproduct of disease. Yeah. And yet there's a little bit of irony here, okay?
There's so just we call is. It, we treat the disease with the disease. We use that calcium in patients' favor to treat the disease.
All right. So this then does extend treatment to people who otherwise would not have been treatable before.
Absolutely. So we had many patients. Unfortunately, they had symptoms. They have heart failure admissions. They were not candidates for the clip procedure. They were not candidates for open heart surgery because they were frail, elderly. With this new technique, we are able to offer or extend this therapy to them and help them alleviate their symptoms and reduce the risk of hospitalization.
What's the age demographic for valve disease in general? Or is it specific to the type of valve issue?
In general, the valve disease prevalence increases above age 65 or so. More wear and tear happens as you get older. Into 80s and 90s, we have more prevalence of valve disease. That is some of the challenge because, you know, if somebody is younger and has valve disease, open heart surgery may be an option. But once you are in later stages of your life, that is when more invasive procedures are higher risk. That's where the frailty comes in. Keep in mind, open heart surgery is not just getting through the surgery, but also recovering from it. It takes weeks to months sometimes for an elderly, frail patient to recover. With these techniques or transcatheter therapies, there's really 24 to 48 hours of hospitalization, and the recovery time is extremely short, in few days. You can essentially do anything you want to do, and you recover, so you build your muscles up fast because you're not bedridden for days to weeks, just like open heart surgery. So essentially for that patient population who had no other options before, this is tremendous news.
Cardiac rehab recommended after a valve procedure?
Yes. So all patients who undergo valvular interventions, we do recommend them cardiac rehab. Keep in mind, most of these patients are elderly. So even if they just come in the hospital and they are there for a day or two, that actually pulls them back from their activity level. So A, they have been, in general, because of the symptoms, they have been shrinking their lifestyles over the weeks to months, and they have been cutting back. That leads to deconditioning or muscle wasting, decreased stamina, and then they get hospitalized for a day or two. So the best way to get back on their feet and back to their usual activities is to give them the boost with cardiac rehab for a couple of weeks, and they recover faster. And there's some patients who really don't need it. They'd say, we're not as symptomatic to start with, and we can pull this through. And I mean, those patients are exceptions, but in general, cardiac rehab is very valuable in this.
This has been the culmination of the PMVR procedure you performed here, first time in the tri-state area, commercially, outside of the research realm, like for a patient who came in and needed the procedure. What now is research pointing us toward in valve disease treatment?
So fortunately, technologies continue to improve. If you look at other fields of life, from cell phones to EVs and everything, technology is continuously improving. So is the techniques and technology for valve therapies. We are participating in several research trials also on the same lines, bringing newer valves to our patients. Where the future holds is that the valve we are delivering is as small as profile as possible. So essentially, patients who are elderly also have issues with the access. So getting a valve or catheter as small as possible makes it more democratizable to more patients. The other thing is that working on durability of the valves. So can these valves last much longer? For example, if there is a 65 years old patient who has another 35 to 40 years to live, can that valve last as long as possible, maybe 20 years or so? So a lot of research is happening on those areas. I think the future for the transcatheter valve therapies is bright, and so is for the patients, because there is so much research happening. And fortunately, we at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, we are participating in that those research initiatives.
So valve replacement, how often does that happen? Like generally, like after how many years?
For the aortic valve, in general, will last about 10 to 15 years. The TMVR is brand new, so we'll see how long that lasts. On the tricuspid side, the replacement of the tricuspid valve, we have data up to 2 to 3 years, and the valve is doing well. But there is a lot of research. Initially, the biggest challenge was how to deliver a valve from the groin.
Right.
That was a huge step in the right direction. And that started with the TAVR procedure, the TAVR procedure, about 20 years ago. That then was replicated on the mitral and tricuspid side. Actually, mitral was the last one, that the MVR we just did. Now the focus is more, it is a safe procedure, but how to make it as durable as possible. And there are several different techniques to prevent calcification of the leaflets. Also keep in mind, these are animal tissues. So the valve comes from a cow or a pig. So does body react to it? Does body cause immunogenic response to it? And that slow response leads to early degeneration of the valve or early failure of the valve. You know, so that's another aspect to look at, immunology of the valves and how to prevent that from happening. What kind of coating is needed on those leaflets? What kind of treatment of the leaflets is needed before they're implanted so they can last longer? Another field is to look into, can we use non-tissue valves where it's not animal tissue, it is something else, like a different material. So it's kind of made up of a material that is not
Some kind of medical grade textile.
Textile, yes. That tissue is treated in certain ways that it decreases calcium buildup. But it's not, so far it's not been able to completely eliminate. And I think the future lies in A, why the calcium builds up. One of the reasons is that, okay, it's the foreign body and human tissue is reacting to it. That is why these valves degenerate faster in younger patients, because they have stronger immune response compared to an 80 years old. So there are some ways of looking at what are the antigens, what are the chemicals on that tissue that is triggering that, and how can we neutralize that. I'm sure a lot of research is going to tell us, like, what can we do with that tissue, and that tissue will last longer, or, as you said, some sort of biomedical textile material that can make that leaflets. But also, there's a lot of stress on these valves. Keep in mind, like, even when you're sleeping, you know, how many times the heart is beating. And one example I give to patients is, think about your blood pressure and how much pressure is on these valves, right? It is absolutely genius nature's design. One way to appreciate that is, if you put a blood pressure cuff on your arm and go to 200, you will feel pain, right? And that is the kind of pressure that the valves are facing with every heartbeat sometimes, right? Every day, every week, every month. So how many millions of beats? So that this textile tissue that or material that would be used, could that withstand that kind of pressure or stress? And if somehow we can find it, then, you know, at least this would be a step forward.
And we don't have to worry about rejection?
We don't have to worry about rejection for that material, hopefully, if it's done properly. But as far as the animal tissue, we always be concerned about the rejection. And, you know, just like in the transplant world, now heart transplant, kidney transplant, liver transplants, there is a lot of research how to prevent immunogenic response to the foreign body or foreign tissue. Can some of those techniques be applied to these valves? Yet to be known.
That's Deborah, interventional cardiologist Dr. Mohammad Raza. Join us next time to learn about a health issue affecting you or a loved one and the ways to treat or manage it for the best life possible. The pod drops the first Wednesday of the month. I'm Rasa Kay.
You can always listen to all of the informative Deborah Doctor interviews at DeborahHealthReport.com. Schedule an appointment at DemandDeborah.org.